Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Pablo Torre. That is Dominique Foxworth. That is Mina Kimes. Or is it Dominique Foxworth? Because this is a lot.
Twin day.
No, you change. I want to wear this. Changing. You change.
I'm not changing.
I am just glad it's not me this time.
You're left out.
What do you make of players' reactions to the NFL's COVID vaccine memo?
So it is new COVID vaccine memo season, and NFL players to varying degrees are reacting, I think, like a lot of the general population has been when it comes to workplace regulations around whether or not you're incentivized to get this thing. And this thing being, of course, vaccination, the thing that happens to be the key to our salvation as a human race on this planet. But, you know, who's counting? I mean, in this case, actually, the NFL is counting very, very carefully, because what it turns out to be now is a landscape where if there is an unvaccinated outbreak, an unvaccinated player-driven outbreak that leads to a game that cannot be postponed within the 18-week regular season, well, guess what happens? The team of unvaccinated players forfeits that game, takes a loss in every real way, playoff standings affected and all of that, plus financial penalties, plus potential discipline from the commissioner, and not just that. All of the players involved in that game that cannot be played again, they all don't get paid. And so there is a very clear line being drawn. This is on you guys. If this season ends up being chaotic, even to the degree that last season was, they're not going to be playing around. You're not going to get paid. You're not going to win. And also, if you are vaccinated, there's this other really key wrinkle. They're going to be more understanding. And so, yes, DeAndre Hopkins, if you're a fan of that guy, hearing him say that his future in the NFL might be in doubt and then delete what he said because he is feeling the heat in some way, it's pretty disappointing for someone like me, I would say.
So this is one of those great topics that allow us to talk about society at large, but while pretending like we're talking about sports. So like yes. You said already, Pablo, the NFL population isn't that much different when it comes to vaccine as the general population. Some people are all in, and there are some people who refuse to get it out of something that they call freedom. And the most interesting thing about freedom is they talk about it, and many of us talk about it like it's binary, like either you're free or you're not free. I view it as somewhat different. It's on a continuum, and you give up certain freedoms in order to live and exist in a society. You have to do that. There are certain rules. There are certain norms that you must follow in order to make the society safer. You may not feel like it does anything for you personally, but it is important to protect everyone else. And when you give up some of those freedoms that you might have, it sometimes makes society safer. And I'm all on board with fighting against us giving up any new freedoms for any other sort of safety. What I am not for is giving up old restrictions that we had already accepted as a society. Like, vaccines is not new. So now if you say I have to hand over my phone record to the government, I'd say no. I'm not moving the slider on my freedom continuum even closer to totalitarianism. I will not do that. I'm fine with that. But we're not saying that. We're saying just abide by all the stuff that you've abided by for, I don't know, since polio, since before then. Like, your body is already full of vaccines. Did you go to school? Like, you've already given up so many freedoms. You have to abide by so many other rules because it's better for everyone else. And again, yes, I'm talking about NFL players, but I'm talking about everyone else. Because while you're doing this, it is not just a personal choice that you can make because you've decided to put yourself at risk. You are putting all of us at risk. We're not asking you to give up new stuff, just the old stuff. Just go ahead and go along with the old stuff so we can still live in this society that we consider somewhat free. I'm sorry,
Dominique.
Football.
I am glad you drew the distinction there too between personal freedoms and rules that affect other people, because I've heard getting the vaccine or the regulation compared to like wearing a seatbelt. It's just something that society asks you to do. But in this case, deciding not to wear the seatbelt also has the potential to kill other people. Yeah. So it is very different. One thing that does frustrate me about this story today is, as you said, the reaction reflects society at large, right? The fact that some people are not wanting to get the vaccine, that's something that's happening in America. But I would argue actually that the NFL, the rate of compliance has been better than society at large. Right. 80% of players have at least one shot. That's a higher rate than the adult population of America. But what you've got here is an outspoken minority commanding more of our attention, which is, again, a problem that reflects society at large. Like, the headline here should be 80%. Half of teams have 85% compliance, which is incredible. And some of those guys are doing it because of the rules the NFL put in place, not just the forfeit thing, but the fact that it's generally a massive pain to not get the shot this season. That seems to be working. A lot of other guys, players, employees around the league I've spoken to, got it because they believe all of the things that Dominique just said. They believe in science. They believe that this is a necessary step to take, not only to protect themselves, but to protect other people. 97% of people dying from this thing are unvaccinated. They know that. They're just not going on Twitter rants, so they're not making the news.
Does Texas and OU to the SEC feel like a done deal?
It does, and not just because Chip Brown of 247sports.com is reporting that very thing, but also because if you've been watching what Texas and OU have been doing for like a decade now, they've just been flirting. They flirted with the Pac-12. Like, that didn't make any regional cultural sense, but that's what they tried to do. And so now, presented with this buffet of chaos that confronts college football, having to pay players, NIL, everybody feeling like the media rights economy is kind of being thrown for a loop. What do? They say, we don't care about the fact that it's going to be so much harder to get into the college football playoff if we go to the SEC. We don't care that the next several rights, TV rights of our first and second tier sports like football and basketball are still owned by the Big 12. All they care about is the long-term arc of things. And that long-term arc is pointing towards the SEC becoming something close to a super league for college sports. And when has a super league ever gone wrong for anybody?
Yeah, Pablo, I think you nailed it when you said the words buffet of chaos, because everyone is going to leave this and head straight to the bathrooms. Like, this is not a good solution for no one in the short term. Maybe in the long term, they're going to make some money out of it. But the Big 12 is going to be left in shambles. The two football teams that are leaving are not going to be more competitive in the near future as a result. Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic brought up a hilarious possible scenario in which these teams join the SEC before the expanded college football playoff, which means essentially Oklahoma would probably get left out of it, which would be a fitting result, honestly, for this because of the greed involved. To me, there is something very funny, though, about the fact that, like, essentially what you've got is two programs entering the transfer portal and doing it for financial reasons. And the rest of these schools in the Big 12, they have to be mad about it. Which is essentially the approach they've taken for him.
Man, I love hypocrisy. But the thing I love more than hypocrisy is we'll take it back to Pablo's original response, which was obviously about analogies. And then he started making the relationship analogies, saying that Texas was flirting with the Pac-12. And then I started thinking, I mean, Pac-12 feels like the sexiest conference. Like, if I'm going to flirt with a conference, I'm going Pac-12. It's Cali, got a little surfer vibe. Like, you want to flirt with the SEC? Nah, I'm good. East Coast, like, you want to flirt with the Northeast and the Big Ten? Like, that's not what I'm looking to flirt with. I think
Pac-10, you want to flirt with Rutgers?
Yeah, I'm good on Rutgers. On a real note, though, like, let's skip all the BS and go ahead and go to four super conferences, reduce the regular season schedule to like 8 games and have an expanded playoff and pay the players. Like, this is professional sports. Stop all this jumping around and nonsense. I'm sorry for your historical conferences. I played in ACC for Maryland, and that conference may be able to survive, but I see what has happened since now Maryland goes to the Big Ten. So I understand how painful it is to lose that history, but this is professional sports. Four conferences, have a couple of the top teams represent their conference in a playoff, and then pay the players. Done.
Can we just do the thing like they did with Nickelodeon, where you just call everything like Nick Jr.? Can we just have NFL Jr.? Can we just stop with the pretense and just be like, look, this is what we're really trying to do here now. It's the NFL, except everyone's a little bit teenier.
I prefer we go with like a little more Spanish flair, like NFLito. Like, just the little NFL.
Is the Cleveland Guardians a good name?
So names are a funny thing, right, guys? Like, there's a Michael B. Jordan, and we just let it happen. Like, that's Something that we don't even think about anymore. In the case of the Cleveland Indians, though, they happen to have an extraordinarily racist name, one that stood for a century, but now they want to pitch us on a rebrand.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed-out past. We are a city of fire and water, of trees and towers, built through generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars, and all of those who have worked harder. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us, because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
I mean, I'm here for the Cleveland Tom Hankses. Did you guys hear him almost rap? Hold on. He said generations of blue collars, the brightest scholars, and then he just sort of abandoned the scheme. I wanted more of that. Why don't we have more rapping?
He does.
Tom
he
Hanks?
Does. Doesn't his son's a rapper? Like it's in the genes somewhere.
Sure.
Tom Hanks could probably spit a few bars. He's the greatest American actor. I'm sure he could pull it off. But the name, wow. I mean. The hype video was great. Like I was at the end excited to accept the name. And then it came across the screen and it made me feel like that Major League movie. Like that's what it felt like. It felt like inauthentic in some way. So I feel bad being critical because I don't want him to go back to the old name. Let's take a second to appreciate how ridiculous the old name was. The group of people that they named their team after changed their name before they did. Like we accepted that was a bad name for them decades before you realized that it was also a bad name for you. So yes, Cleveland Guardians is better than going with the Cleveland Indians, but I can't say I like that. I guess I have to win a couple World Series and then it'll grow on me.
I like it. I mean, for those who don't know and didn't pick up on it from watching the video, it's named after those very cool and very intimidating Art Deco statues on the bridge when you drive into the city. And
love Art Deco.
They're really cool. And I think it's a good name. And more importantly, I think people will just stop caring after like a week. Because that's what happens. Every time there's a new sports name or logo or jersey color, everybody gets mad at first because people hate change, and then everybody forgets. The Washington football team just decided to go by football team, which is like having a baby and naming it baby, and everyone just deals with it. Like, we just call them football team now because you
that's
just
true.
Get used to these things. Guardians is an actual name. If you already have the jersey, they've made it so that all you have to do is like get a piece of tape and cover it up and write G-U-A-R, which I think is very convenient. And it works. I also really like that we didn't show it, but the G logo with the wings, I thought, on the little sides of the baseball was kind of cool, too. I like
that. But it's too easy, though. That's my issue with it. If you can just sort of like tattoo nightmares, edit half of the name and just be like, guess what, guys? We found the best solution. Like, I don't know if that is the best solution. I personally am a fan of the Cleveland Spiders. That seems like a marketing bonanza to me. I would love the Cleveland Spiders iconography that they could have developed.
Why not just go with baseball team? I mean, Washington football team is working for me. I've gotten used to it.
Up next on HQ.
As somebody who often starts sentences on this program without knowing where they're going to end at all, I absolutely empathize with that.
Time to play the game that could easily be in Tokyo right now, representing the U.S. in handball. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, we question them. Like, is this feud that Dominique has with the entire handball community still continuing?
Feud? It's not a feud.
Do you question if the Dodgers got hosed or just choked?
Man, if you are a closer, you revel in bases loaded, 3-2, unless that is your Kenley Jansen this week, in which case this happens to you.
Got him.
No, tie game.
No. Wait. He definitely swung.
Yep.
Can we get another look at that?
Yeah, this is absurd.
Look at that that bad. What? It even like ricochets back.
The next batter, because once that happens, of course, you know Kenley Jansen is going to get shelled repeatedly, all of which would be an amazing, amazing headline on the story, except something else happened that you should probably fly towards the right field. Earlier in the game. Oh, McKinney. Oh, no. Yeah, we got to watch exactly what happens here. Because shout out to Raul Ibanez.
Yes, yes, the full Ibanez.
So the question was, did the Dodgers get hosed or something? I mean, yes, but shout out to the hose on McKinney for being just strong enough to nail his teammate in the back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say they got hosed. Honestly, it's hard for me to care so much about one bad call in one of a million baseball games. I'm sure it evens itself out throughout the course of the season. But honestly, all I can really think about is, what's a Dodger?
To me, it's just so great because like what he did on that play, watching a professional baseball player attempt a throw that reminds you of like what you would do if you had a first pitch in a game is somehow so gratifying to me. It's so like, cause.
Yes.
Do you question if PJ Tucker gave a good speech?
So the number one person I want to speak at any public gathering of any kind is the guy whose shirt is already almost translucent. So let's listen to PJ Tucker.
When I came in, they're like, yo, you gotta like show, like you gotta be the dog. And I'm like, wait. Man, we got dogs. Like, they just say, like, we...
the deer like, here, like, is bumping dogs.
We got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we gonna be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
Oh, yes.
As somebody who often starts sentences on this program without knowing where they're going to end at all, I absolutely empathize with that. Love that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I bet PJ Tucker knew exactly what he was going to say, and maybe he is continuing on our discussion about mascots, and he's realized that they need a new name. And he's just laying the groundwork to move on from the Bucks to the Dogs.
Dominique, I just want to remind everyone that two segments ago, you said Cleveland Spiders would be better and that spiders were better than dogs, which honestly, like you said a lot of unpopular things on television, on the internet, shout out to Bills fans, but spiders are more likable than dogs might be the most insane hot take you've ever dropped on ESPN.
Mina, I didn't say that they're more likable. I said they're better. There is a difference between more likable and better. There are lots of things that are very likable, but are not of much consequence or substance. Spiders, better animals, more interesting, it's more dynamic as far as the way they look, their abilities. Like, I would rather read a book about spiders than read a book about dogs.
Time to play the game that doesn't think there's any chance Dominique would actually be good at handball. See or no?
What? I got hands, and I would be good, Mina.
Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, USA and France.
I am very much in on this. The international basketball world is different than the NBA, we should all remember, because in that sport, you can just park a center in the paint and just let him hang out there because those are the rules. And so Rudy Gobert will be doing that the entirety of the game. Good thing we have Kevin Love who can draw him out of the paint, except wait a minute, no, we replaced him with JaVale McGee who is the exact opposite. So yes, count me in for being intrigued by what's gonna happen here. Dominique, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm intrigued, but I mean, if Kevin Love was the answer to this equation, then I think we are doomed. Like, that was not the answer at any point in any championship run. Him alone cannot be the answer. I understand that the French team has a few NBA players and some NBA All-Stars, but come on. The USA has all of the best players in the NBA. Maybe not the top of the top, but they're much more talented than France. And I imagine they could put together some sort of small ball lineup that involves Kevin Durant playing the five that'll draw Rudy Gobert out of the paint. So, let's be serious. If they lose because Kevin Love went home, then they deserve to lose.
They do have Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant's arms, which reminds me, Mina, are you intrigued?
I was going to be upset about the JaVale McGee disrespect, but now I'm going to be upset on behalf of the skinny community, this constant...
Finally.
You know what? I am not ashamed of my Kevin Durant arms. I'm just not lifting them because I'm so sweaty now.
The worst part about sweaty is that you weren't that sweaty, and then you noticed that you were kind of sweaty.
Yeah.
And then, you reacted to the noticing of your sweat.
And then, we all noticed. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're sweating more, probably because you were realizing that.
I thought changing shirts would solve the problem.
All right. It is Friday afternoon. You're free to go. Class has been dismissed, except for those of us who have severe sweat problems, in which case you got a lot of work to do. Yep. Right there, Dominic Foxworth, catch him all over, the undefeated ESPN. He is very sweaty. Mina Kimes, what
you
got?
Not sweaty at all. Not sweaty.
Can't relate. Cool as a cucumber over here.
Very convincing.
So nice. You take pictures to everybody. Oh, man.